is an open white color.
Okay, will be complete. Egg lip on the side. Okay.
I suppose.
Okay.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى اله واصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته الى يوم الدين اما بعد beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. We thank Allah for granting us another Jum'ah and with a little bit of sun also today, alhamdulillah. Today, inshallah, the topic of our lecture is if you follow these men and women, you will never go astray. And this khutbah, I've already given this talk. I don't know if it was a Jum'ah talk or a khutbah or a Sunday morning talk. But it is based on a talk by the late Imam Anwar al-Awlaqi. I'm sure many of you know him. And he speaks to us today about a Sahabi called Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. It's not about him. It's about what he said. But Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, I'm sure, is a familiar name with all of us. We know, for example, that in Medina, there were seven great ulama in Medina. Seven great ulama. All their names started with Abdullah. All their names started with Abdullah. And they were called the Abadila. The Al-Abadila. Abadila is the plural of Abdullah. Abadila, the plural of Abdullah. And one of them was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. I'll give you a very short history on who was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was a shepherd, a young man, maybe 12, 13 years old, who was in the desert looking after the sheep of the Quraysh. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day passed by him and asked him whether he had any milk to drink from the sheep. He said, no, I can't give you any milk to drink from the sheep. My milk, the fact isn't, there's nobody here with any of the sheep with milk. So the Prophet ﷺ said, do you have a little sheep that is new? He hasn't had milk before. He said, yeah, I can bring you that. So the Prophet, he brought the sheep, and the Prophet ﷺ, he rubbed on the udder of the sheep and it started swelling up. He recited, started swelling up. Then Abu Bakr was with him. He brought a stone with like a bowl stone, and he captured the milk from the sheep, and Abu Bakr drank first, and then the Prophet ﷺ drank afterwards. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says he was very struck by this as a young boy. And he said to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one day I also want to do this. I also want to rub on the sheep and I also want to get milk from them like you have. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you are already an intelligent young man. Prophet said to you, this is the Prophet said to you, you are a very intelligent young man. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud after he was finished with gathering the milk from the sheep, Prophet said, shrink. And the udder of the cow, of the sheep, it shrunk. First of all, he was the first person, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, to read the Quran in the Haram of Makkah. He was the first person to read the Quran in the Haram of Makkah. In other words, where the Quraysh gathered. When he did this, he first read Surah Al-Rahman to them, and they were so shocked. The Quraysh were so shocked that this little slave boy, he was a slave, this little slave boy is reading this Quran, which they were forbidden from reading, that he suddenly read the Quran, and they were so spellbound they couldn't do anything. They were going to hit him and hit him, but when he was finished, they just glared at him and he walked away. And then secondly, also, it was the second time also when Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he asked the Prophet, said, "Ya Rasulullah, can't I go out there and read the Quran to the Quraysh?" The Sahaba said, "Oh, don't go, they're going to hurt you very badly." He said, "What is hurt very badly?" "Ya Rasulullah, can I go?" Prophet said, "Yeah, if you want to go." So he read the Quran, he was beaten up very badly by the Quraysh. But he said, "If I should do this 1,000 times, I'll do it 1,000 times. SubhanAllah. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud became the leading scholar in Islam in Medina at the time. He was the most learned in the Quran. I'm giving you an idea of who this man was. He was the most learned people in the Quran. And he knew the Quran best by heart of any of the other Sahaba of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was his name? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And he used to say, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, look how proud they were. He used to say, "I took from the mouth of the Prophet more than any of the, I took from the mouth of the Prophet 70 surahs from the Quran." In other words, while the Prophet was reading the Quran, he was memorizing the Quran in the case of 70 of the surahs of the Nabi sallallahu of the Quran. And he says, "I am better understanding of the Quran than any one of you." He said to the Sahaba, "I am the best in the Quran, the sciences of the Quran, than any one of you." SubhanAllah. And they admitted, all the Sahaba, Umar, Uthman, Ali, all of them, all the Sahaba said, "You are the best person of the Quran." When the Prophet wanted to hear the Quran, he used to call Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and said, "Read for me the Quran." And he said to the Prophet, "Ya Rasulullah, wahi came down on you, you're the best person to read the Quran." The Prophet said, "But I love to hear your voice also to read the Quran. And other Sahaba's voices also. I like to listen to the Quran." SubhanAllah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, listen carefully to the status of this person because I'm going to talk about him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directed the Sahaba and said to them, "Stick to the method of Ibn al-Abd." This is what the Prophet called him, Ibn al-Abd, son of the mother of the slave. Because he was a slave and his mother was also a slave. They were proud of these connotations. Today, if somebody calls you a servant, you get angry. That time they were called a slave, but they were proud to be a slave. Of course, who were they a slave of? If somebody says to you, "You're a servant," you say, "Yeah, I'm a servant. I'm a servant of Allah and His Messenger." So you just take it with a smile. Somebody says, "Do this," you know, say, "Don't tell him you're not your boy. Tell him, mashallah, I'm a servant. What do you want me to do? I'm the servant of Allah and His Messenger. I will be grateful and happy to do your favor." Ibn al-Abd, the son of the mother of the slave. And the Prophet ﷺ said about him, "Whoever wants to hear the Quran as fresh as it was revealed, let him read it the way of Ibn al-Abd." Read it the way of, what was his name? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Say it. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. I don't want you to ever forget this name. When you go home, Google his name and see what a great man he was. And he says, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, used to say, "There is no surah about which I do not know where and what context it was revealed in." SubhanAllah. He says he knew where every surah was revealed, the place it was revealed, and also the context. Context means, why did Allah reveal that surah? Hudhayfa ibn Hudhayfa, one of the other Sahaba of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said about him, "I have never seen anyone like the Prophet in his way of life," meaning Abdullah ibn Mas'ud's way of life, and the character of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was closest to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his way of life, his character, and of course his love for deen and his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a man guided by Allah, educated by the Prophet, and enlightened by the Quran. SubhanAllah. Imagine we can say this, that we are educated by the Prophet, we are guided by Allah, educated by the Prophet, and enlightened by the Holy Spirit. And this qissa that I'm going to tell you now is narrated in the Sunan of Imam al-Baghawi. You can Google this also. Everything is there, if you know where to get it. He said, al-Baghawi says, that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, see, he writes this in his book, Sunan of Ibn al-Baghawi. And what does he write? What did Ibn Mas'ud say? Ibn Mas'ud said, man kana mustannan falyastanna biman qalbat. He said, this man writes, he said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said these words. What did he say? He said, man kana mustannan, he who wants to follow a path. Sure, you know this. It's good revision for me. He says, man kana mustannan, any person of all of us wants to follow a path, isn't it? So what do? We follow all this. If there's 20 paths in Cape Town, all those paths will have followers. Right or wrong? Whether they do right, whether they do wrong, whether they wear green and white on their head, whatever the Prophet said, 70,000 Muslims will wear a cap on their head in color green and white. They will follow Dajjal. What did the Prophet say? 70,000 Muslims will wear on their head what? Green and white. And what will who they will follow? Dajjal. Who's worse than Shaitan. Be careful what you wear on your head. Very careful. What you do? You should ask. Can I do this? Can I do that? Don't you know, but what's wrong? What's wrong if I wear green and white cap on my head? So he said, you should follow those who have passed away. Strange thing to say. How do you follow people who have passed away? فَإِنَّ الْحَيِّ, he says why? فَإِنَّ الْحَيِّ لَا تُؤْمَنُ عَلَيْهِ الْفِتْنَةِ. Because a person who has died away, his life is complete. If he reigned to be a good man and he died a good man, that was his life. But a man who hasn't passed away yet, no matter how good he is, the Prophet ﷺ said that there will be people who will live the deen of Allah their whole life. And when they die, they die as kafir. And there will be people who love us kafir, but when they die as a Muslim. Look at yourself in your old age. Are you still making salah? Are you still doing all the five, practicing the five pillars? Most important of all? Or have you wavered from there? Have you said, maybe I've made too much salah. Maybe Allah will forgive me. Maybe I don't have to fast anymore. I know I can, but I mean, you know, I'm old now. So just excuse, old age is an excuse. Well, zakah, well, subhanAllah. May Allah subhanAllah keep us on the straight path until we breathe our last breath, inshallah. Until we breathe our last breath. And say the words La ilaha illallah every day, every time you remember it, you say La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Why? Because it will be imprinted in your mind in the day and the time and the minute that you need it, you will say it, inshallah. Because if is that words again? No. Because all of us will die with a very small memory. So you can't like to say, what is that words that I have to say? No, it should be there, implanted in your memory. And how will it come? Every time you say, La ilaha illallah. My wife says, why you say La ilaha illallah? Did I do something wrong? Every time you look at me, you say La ilaha illallah. Yes, I'm saying La ilaha illallah because my memory is not as good as it was. And I have to say this all the time. Because sometimes I forget things that I thought I would never forget. SubhanAllah. So the speaker was? Who was the speaker who said these words? Come on. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. What did he say? From the follower path? Follow the path of those who passed away. And who are those who passed away? Sahabatu Rasulullah. Sahabatu Rasulullah. The companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kana afdal hadhihi al-umma. They were the best people of this ummah. They were chosen. Each one of them was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to follow in the footsteps of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, why do I say that? What makes you say, yeah, they were chosen? How do I know that they were chosen by Allah? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent no ummah after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was the best ummah that came to this earth. And after the best, that's it. The end of it. Like Omar cried on Arafah when the Prophet, when Allah revealed that today I've perfected for you your religion. He cried. Why did he cry? Because he knew that after perfection there's nothing. Nothing more is going to come. This is it. This is the end. This is the Quran. This is the Prophet. Where is Sahaba? No more Sahaba anymore will come. No more Quran will come. That's it. So they were chosen by Allah. رضي الله عنهم. Radiallahu anhu. Allah was pleased. Allah was pleased with him. And they were pleased with Allah. One day they missed. So, a person who is still alive. What about a person who is still alive? Person who is still alive, we do not know how his ending is going to come. Even if he's an alim, even if he's a saint, even if he's a guru, even if he's whatever he is. Nobody knows how your life is going to end. But the Sahaba, we know exactly who they are. We know exactly they'll promise Jannah. It was 10 specifically, it was promised Jannah on the dunya. And the people of Badr, every single person who fought at Badr, go to paradise. All his sins are forgiven. So there was one Sahabi, he was, the drinking of wine, I think, was only haram. Sheikh was in the 50th year of the Hijrah. But it's after the Battle of Badr. So he continued to take a sip. So every time Umar ibn al-Khattab gets up and says, hey, what's wrong with you, man? He should stop this, you know. And then Umar would just give him a little hole on his back with his shoe. He said, stop this, man. Don't do this. So Umar, after a while, he went to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, what are we going to do with him? You know, he still takes his, you know. Whatever we do, we don't want to say the word. So the Prophet ﷺ said, leave him alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave all the people who fought at Badr, and he was one of them. So, the Sahaba was given the stamp of approval of Allah and His Messenger Muhammad. Who was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud speaking to when he gave this talk? This is just the first. He gave quite a long time, giving you the first sentence. If I give you the whole one, it will take about 2 hours to do this. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was speaking to the Tabi'een. The second best generation after the generation of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who was he talking to? The Tabi'een. Who were the Tabi'een? Tabi'een were those who met the Sahaba. After the Tabi'een, nobody met the Sahaba. So they met him with the Sahaba. This is what he said. This is the advice he gave to them. And he said to them, none of you have the guarantee that you'll go to Jannah. But every single Sahabi has the guarantee that he will go to Jannah. None of you fought at Badr. A lot of them fought at Badr. They're all forgiven. And all the other Sahaba who died in the other battles. And he said to them, they had patience with the Prophet. Patience. With your leader, with your Imam, with your Shaykh. I said, patience. Patience. And of course, the Imam and the Sheikh and whoever it is must also have patience with you. Patience is a vital part of our Islam. I told you, I said, now if somebody upsets me, my children, my wife, whoever it is, I don't respond until I've waited 3 days. This is not from young, this is maybe from 10 years ago. And wallah, I tell you, after 3 days, I forgot everything. Anger is gone, what I wanted to say is gone. I smile and said, Alhamdulillah, you guided me to this. Subhanallah. I don't have to retract words. You know how difficult that is? You shout at somebody, you have to take it back. Shout at your wife, if you take it back. It doesn't work, you know. Rather wait. Take my advice, wait 3 days. See, not less, 3 days. You'll see that it will. Because you're not allowed to be enemies with any person or any Muslim person for more than 3 days. So Allah was pleased with him and the Prophet was pleased with him. And these are the ones we should follow. When you say those are the ones you should follow, because they followed Muhammad and whatever they knew, they got from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud gives us some reasons why we should follow them. First, they were the best of people. Abadu wa quluban, they were the most sincere in their hearts. They were the most sincere in their hearts when they loved the Prophet. They gave their lives for him. They left everything behind in Makkah when they left. They left their wives behind when the Quraysh said, no, you can't take your wife, can't take your children, leave them here. Leave the wife with children there. Their money and wealth, Quraysh should leave everything, you go to Muhammad, go to Medina. And the people of Medina, what did they do? They share. If they had more than one wife, they would divorce the one wife and give it to one another. Sahaba that came from Makkah. Their wealth, they would cut it in half, they give one half to the people it came from Makkah. People come to our country from their countries where they are oppressed. Then this is what we should do. They're the purest hearts, the Sahaba, and the most knowledge. They didn't have more knowledge than we have. We have more knowledge than the Sahaba. The Sahaba knew the hadith he knew, and maybe the hadith that some of the Sahaba knew. But we know every single hadith. Ibn Bukhari, all the hadith. We know all the 4,400 sahih hadith, absolutely from the Prophet. We, many of us memorize the Quran. All of us can read. In the time of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, only 16 people could read in Makkah. 16 people. One of them was Umar ibn Khattab. So, what kind of knowledge did they have? They had depth of knowledge. We have all the knowledge, but the depth of it we don't have. Because the depth of knowledge was given to them directly from Allah to the Prophet to them. What did that mean? What did that mean? What did that mean? Today we have to say, oh, I have to go look up in the dictionary. You have to look up the tafsir. They knew exactly why it was revealed, where it was revealed, for what purpose it was revealed. SubhanAllah. So they had deep. They didn't have a lot. Bukhari had much more hadith than any of the Sahaba. But he was not a Sahaba. And he didn't have the depth of knowledge. They were there when the Quran was revealed. They were present looking at the face of the Prophet when the Quran was revealed. They lived it and experienced the Quran at first hand, straight from Allah, straight from Allah. Imagine, subhanAllah. Those who came after the Sahaba, like us and the Tabi'een, we're only scratching the surface. Wallahi al-Azim, I swear to you that we're only scratching the surface. Wallahi. I look at myself, I can only take myself as an example. I don't even know a quarter of 1% of what the Sahaba need. Not a quarter of 1%. And I told you before, when I sit in my library and I start reading the books now, which I couldn't read at the time, and I said to myself, I open the book and I read, I say, yeah, no, thank you, you didn't know this. You didn't know this about the Udu. SubhanAllah. You didn't know this about the Salah, subhanAllah. You didn't know this about fasting, subhanAllah. Because there is knowledge and there is depth. I'm slowly trying to go into a little bit of the depth. May Allah guide us all, inshallah. And the life of the Sahaba of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the way of the Quran. They love the Quran. Simple, they love the Quran. Now, this is very important. The Sahaba grew up where? Makkah and Medina. Makkah and Medina was cut off from the rest of the world. Nobody wanted to go to Makkah and Medina. No Greek wanted to go there. No Persian wanted to go there. They were like, when the Quran came, they were like empty dishes. They were not influenced by Greek philosophy or Persian philosophy. No. They couldn't even write. They had fresh brains, fresh hearts. And on those hearts, the Quran was revealed. So they were untouched by all the ideas of the so-called West at the time. The Greeks and the Romans, Persians, the Indians, all these people who had knowledge around them. These people all stayed here, clear of Makkah and Medina. Because they felt there was nothing there. These people just wanted to make war. So the fitrah of the Sahaba, the fitrah, the nature, the character of the Sahaba was pure. It was absolutely pure. Like a clean slate, like a clean plate. So, for them to accept Islam and practice Islam was easy. They got the Islam. They were not bothered by any other ideology about this psychology and that view. No. They only had Islam. Every practice was said. And they practiced it as it was revealed to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Today we want to pour on the Quran and the Sunnah our ideas and what somebody said, what somebody else said, and even the dumbest Muslim will say, but you know, there's another view also on this hadith. And this hadith may be, this is a weak hadith, my ustaz said so. Although it's a completely sahih hadith, but his ustaz, of course, doesn't follow that madhab, doesn't want to follow that way, so he says, this other hadith, it says the opposite. You should never say words like that until you have yourself found out the truth of it. And the ulama around them, you can ask them. Why not? And if they don't know, they will say, I'll come back to you. Or they will say, where you can find it. قَوْمٌ اِخْتَارَهُمُ اللَّهُ لِصُحْبَةِ نَبِيِّ Allah chose them to be the companions of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the establishers of the deen of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah didn't have to say that. Allah said, no other prophet will come after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So brothers in Islam, I know this is a message that we repeat, and I try to repeat it in such a manner that it will go to your hearts, because that's very important. Go to your hearts. So a man like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, if he says follow the Sahaba, and he was the best Muslim in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recognized by Muhammad himself, and recognize Abu Bakr, Umar, and all the other Sahaba. This is, and really, it is the best advice that I think anybody can ever give. Because they're not, when he says follow the Sahaba, it means follow the Sahaba who followed who? Who got the pure message from whom? And Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got it from whom? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So there was only one person between them and Allah. One single. Allah, Muhammad, and the Sahaba. How many persons are between us and Allah? So whose advice should you take? Your own advice. I take my advice. I make tawbah every day. Ya Allah, don't let me say something that's wrong. Don't let me say something. Forgive me, and you also forgive me all the times that I've made mistakes, which I can't remember. Allah knows this. Subhanallah, Allah ta'ala alam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala.
Sheikh, I'm good with my time. I didn't have a watch with me today. I must say I lost my watch there about a month ago. And I looked on the screen. I gave my stopwatch. And I then went to re-look at the khutbah because it was recorded.